before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And, wow, a lot of stuff is going on in the world of politics and also with Ukraine. Of course, on Saturday, the House voted. It's hard for me to even say it. But they voted for $95 billion to go to war and to killing people and Murder, Inc. and the military-industrial complex. It's such a fraud. People don't understand. Well, the congressman, the reason why they're waving flags in Ukraine is simply because that's what they do. I mean, they're waving flags and the Ukrainian flag in the House of Congress and the House of Representatives because they like the money that they're going to get over anything else. What do I mean by that? Well, let's see. The breakdown here is, and this doesn't make sense to me. I read this off of the screen. I took a picture of the Fox Business, Maria Bartiromo, where she says, U.S. sending taxpayer money overseas. House passes $95 billion in foreign aid. And then it says $60 billion goes to Ukraine, $34.6 trillion U.S. national debt. Okay, so 60, yeah, that does make sense. $60.84 billion goes to Ukraine, $26.38 billion goes to Israel, and $8.12 billion Indo-Pacific aid. So like Taiwan. Right. What's interesting, too, is that you have these universities that are these children, these ignorant pro-Hamas children that don't know their butt from a hole in the ground. They're taking over universities. An Israeli journalist got stabbed in the eye with a flag stick at Yale. Columbia, they're setting things on fire. They're taking over the school. It's insane. And they're emboldened. See, when you're a weak leader like Biden is, you embolden the world to take advantage of an opportunity that they know is going to be lost with anybody else but Biden. Biden is so scripted. He's got a fake photo on his website, his Twitter page, of him speaking in the rain with this crowd, which was all AI generated. And that's the only way he could come out and look like a candidate, is to take still photos They have a video of him at a Sheetz. Now this one's hard to believe. A video of him at a at a Wawa, where he was supposed to get a hoagie, and they give him the hoagie, and then they tell him, okay, he's going to give you a tip, and he comes with a little cash in his hand, and he's like, here, I know it's paid for, but I'm going to give you this tip. And so, you know, it's all like he's walking like a robot, and he's slurring his words, and he's talking about wanting a milkshake. But they compared Trump at the bodega up in the Bronx and in Harlem, and compared that to Joe Biden in a completely choreographed, scripted thing where the mayor of the town was leading him around like a dog on a leash. You can't even compare the two. The fact that you would even see a poll that would say Trump is up 5 points is beyond belief. There's no way these guys are neck and neck or 5 points apart. The only reason why the polls are doing that is because they're rigging the elections. And they're going to try to say that somehow the Biden team got a better turnout and pulled it off, a squeaker. And they want to get out the vote on the Democrats and give them hope. Because the Democrats are like little babies. They give up. They give up when the going gets tough. They won't show up. So they know that. They know that they got a bunch of flakazoids. Anyway, the point is, he was at a Sheetz. They did the same thing. Sheetz is like another thing. It's out of Pennsylvania. It's a big Pennsylvania store chain, like Wawa, like 7-Eleven, you know, those convenience stores. So Sheetz, he does a photo op with Sheetz. Everybody in the Sheetz ignored him. Like, there was no one in the Sheetz. Nobody was chanting 4 more years. Nobody was doing anything of the sort. People don't even recognize him. They don't even know who he is. And he's walking in. People just are, they look at him, turn away. You could see the body language. So what? And then it turns out that the Biden administration decides they're going to sue Sheetz for violating, not hiring enough diversity. It's insane. And there's other stories where certain people are getting fired for not hiring diversity. Like you take Al Roker. He wanted these two writers. Al Roker, black guy, black weatherman for the Today Show, wanted two writers. They happened to be white. He's getting sued now because he didn't hire two black writers. But getting back to Ukraine, so Ukraine, they just approved $60 billion to Ukraine. Marjorie Taylor Greene is flat out upset. Speaker Johnson sold out the Republican Party. And anybody who supports, I don't care who you are, anybody who supports this funding to Ukraine is an absolute idiot. A moron. And the reason why you're a moron and an idiot for supporting this funding and thinking that Speaker Johnson's a good dude is because it's all about laundering. Ukraine has been about laundering for the longest of times. All of the oligarchs, all of them, have Bentleys and Rolls Royces now. And they're going to Monaco and they're looking for houses. Millions of dollars in housing so they can get laid in their beautiful mansions with their great champagnes and steaks and Bentleys and Rolls Royces. It's Euro trash on steroids is what it is. These Democrats in Europe that are supporting this. Trump said, why are we paying the most Why can't Europe pay more than we do? They're the ones that are actually drumming up the existential threat. But they're the ones also poking the red bear, the big Russian bear, in the eye with their NATO aggression. Mearsheimer predicted this in 2015. He said, as NATO expands, it's just going to create more angst. Now we have problems in Niger over all kinds of different things, like water rights and a whole bunch of other things. Niger, we knew about this years ago when the Wagner Group was a Russian mercenary group, was down in Niger stirring up trouble because there are political issues in Africa and particularly in Niger. And now we have military personnel that's trapped thanks to the foreign policy of Biden, Jake Sullivan, Susan Rice, and a whole bunch of other Obama disciples that are morons when it comes to any foreign policy that involves a Muslim. Because that's the problem. They're radical Islamic jihadis. It's a religious war with them. It's all about, this is what the pro-Hamas thing is. How in the world can you be so stupid as to support Hamas? Now, interestingly, this bill that passed the House is going to go to the Senate. It'll pass because the Democrats, they always are organized. And then Biden will sign it and the money will go out. And why is this money so important in an election year? Why? Why did it have to be done right now? 6 months away from an election. Can anyone answer that question? I wrote this. I said, the $60 billion sent to Ukraine is a campaign donation to every congressman who voted for it. Money sent to Ukraine always has strings attached that require specific DC groups, Washington DC groups, to advise, audit, and control how the money is spent, often by pay-to-play lobbyists who control politicians. Period. And anybody who doesn't understand that and thinks that somehow that more than 33% on the dollar is going to go to anything but politicians. They say at least a third to over two-thirds is not even going to the fight. Maybe one-third of the money will literally go toward the fight. But after they cut it up like a bunch of drug lords cutting up cocaine, and that's all they are. In fact, Zelensky keeps rubbing his nose in every video that he's in. He keeps sniffing, rubbing his nose, touching his nose. He's fidgety. I've heard from more than one account that this guy is hooked on cocaine. He's a coke head, a coke addict. So Ukraine money laundering. Ukraine money launderer Representative Carlos received donations from lobbyists and PR agents connected with Blinken, founded WestExec, State Department, Front, Albright, Stonebridge, Ridgeline Partners, Brookings Institution, Atlantic Council, and other deep state inside the Beltway foreign agents who funnel money. And they don't just, it's almost impossible to police. If you're a politician that does what you're supposed to do and somehow you don't have a foundation set up to collect money, then what will happen is you'll actually get a board membership, or some of your family members will get on the board of Atlantic Council or get a cushy job at the Brookings Institution, and you'll get a place there. And then it's siblings, it's familia, right? It's family. So basically, it's nepotism and cronyism. You know, friends and family. But what it is that these people then are allegiant. They're aligned. Like if someone gives me a cushy job where I barely have to work, and they're going to give me, you know, $250,000 a year to sit and be a figurehead and also make sure things are going okay. But for the most part, it's just really an extra $20,000 a month that I get to spend, right? $240,000 a year. It's an extra $20,000 a month payable. They're not giving me all the money up front. You know, it's basically payable over $20,000 a month. Now, I pay taxes on it. It helps the tax base. It keeps me in check. But not only that, but I then, like a multi-level marketing scheme, I then make sure that the people that are closest to me do what I need them to do. And if I need them to coerce them, I give them a kickback. I give them a piece of my muscle. That's how it works in Washington. That's how it works. So this Carlos Jimenez says, for me, the only way to peace is victory. America stands with the Jewish state of Israel as they protect themselves from barbaric Hamas terrorists. So this is Representative Carlos Jimenez. He's often on Fox News. But here's the problem, is when we finance Israel, we also then tell them what they can and cannot do with their money. And then you have to ask the question, who is actually granting them airspace to send their missiles to Iran? And then you got to look at the college students that are taking over the campuses, right? So you got these college students that are taking over the campuses, and you wonder, like this college kid here, right? Listen to this brainless Ivy League student, Muslim, Middle Easterner, that thinks that she knows best everything that's going on in the Middle East.
We've shown our administrators the power that we hold, and we can't give it up.
This is a Yale student. It says, students at MIT, Emerson, and Tufts University, all Massachusetts, you know, pretty much, university have set up encampments in solidarity with Columbia University, Gaza Solidarity Encampment. So it's like spreading. It's almost like Occupy Wall Street or Antifa. It's gotten to be like this movement. They don't even know what they stand for. We've shown our administrators the power that we hold, and we can't give it up. We are the ones who run this campus, who make campus what it is. Okay, so let's take a listen again.
We've shown our administrators the power that we hold, and we can't give it up. We are the ones who run this campus, who make the campus what it is. We hold the power, so we have to show them that we won't back down until they meet our demands.
My name is Hannah. I'm with the Coalition for Palestine at MIT, and right behind us
MIT.
Is our Scientists Against Genocide Encampment. Following in Colombia's footsteps, we are in an encampment in solidarity with Gaza, and all the Boston area schools have a set of four demands. The first one is to disclose investments. The second is to cut ties with the IOF. Third is to call for a ceasefire, and fourth is to drop charges against students. And we're here in solidarity with our siblings in Gaza as well as our siblings in Colombia.
So everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. I think that Mike Tyson said that. Yeah, I think so. All right. So I'm going to get to this other clip. Let's see. What's this? Yeah. Well, this is just Pramila Jayapal admits Democrats wouldn't have put Trump, President Trump, on trial. We're going to talk about that today, too. So this is another issue. But listen to this clip. Tell me what your takeaway is on this. We're going to get back to the other one in just a second. But take a listen to this.
And, you know, I go back to the responsibility of Congress here, because had the Senate actually gone through with the impeachment of Donald Trump, we would not be in this situation. And, you know,
So if the Senate would have just impeached Donald Trump, we wouldn't have had to deal with this. We wouldn't have had to actually take Trump and prosecute him 91 times. Trump attorney Will Scharf says, we're seeing prosecutors who are hell-bent on interfering with the 2024 election. Let's take a listen to this.
Yeah, you know, James Madison in the Federalist Papers wrote about the use of political faction or bi-political faction of newfangled and artificial treasons to oppress their political opponents. I think that's what we're seeing play out in courtrooms across America. We're seeing prosecutors who are hell-bent on interfering with the 2024 election, bringing these unprecedented legal theories against President Trump, all because of what he's doing, because he's running for president. It's an outrageous abuse of the legal system. I think Alvin Bragg's prosecution in New York that we're seeing play out in court this week is example A of that phenomena. And it's outrageous. It should offend all Americans of all political stripes.
But it doesn't offend the Democrats. I guarantee you, if this was, she was on the other foot, if this was Obama, I would think, okay, this isn't making us look good. We look bad. Why don't we just beat them on the merits? That's easy enough. Let's just do this. You know, let's just have a debate, right, of ideas, and let the chips fall where they may. But I could never condone this, no matter what the Democrats are doing. But the Democrats are all happy about it, because see, the Democrats aren't competitive. They're about everybody gets a trophy. Right. So they don't really care about winning and losing so much as everybody gets a trophy except for the people they don't like. You know, it's like we're allowed to wear our hats and our masks, but you're not allowed to put on a MAGA hat. As soon as Trump paraphernalia started taking over, the school said, no, you can't wear anything now. But then what about that Antifa thing over there? What about that Black Lives Matter shirt over there? Well, that's okay. Remember COVID? It's like you could go and form a crowd and protest in public or at some park or wherever if you're promoting for a black cause, right? Big Bird de Blasio said, well, some causes are better than others, more altruistic and more meaningful than others. You know, it's absolutely absurd. I say this about Ukraine. The problem with Ukraine is that the government we're supposed to support is the one that's trashing democracy. Like Zelensky shuts down his political, incarcerates his political opposition. Where have we seen that? Here, right in America. They freeze the bank accounts. Where have we seen that? In Canada with the Ottawa truckers, right? They incarcerate J6 prisoners like here. They do the same thing in Ukraine. And Ukraine wouldn't be a hot mess if it wasn't for our State Department and people like Victoria Nuland and Jeffrey Pyatt. And then people like Eric Ciaramella and Joe Biden, you know, and Burisma and all the oligarchs that they hobnobbed with that overthrew, in essence, a coup in that country. Also, George Soros played a hand in that country in about 10 years ago. And so George Soros was involved. All the liberals that were involved with Ukraine brought Ukraine to the place where it has to now meet its maker, because they allowed themselves to be sold out. They're the biggest sellouts. So therefore, everybody in Congress that voted on Saturday for this, and I'm talking about all the Republican swine and all the Democrats that wave their Ukrainian flags, they're all complicit in the destruction. Because David Sachs said this, David Sachs, no friend of Trump's, David Sachs said that this is going to happen again. You know, this is going to just, they're going to come back for more. In the not too distant future, David Sachs says, Ukraine will be back before the Congress seeking more funding. The arguments will be the same. Without it, Ukraine will collapse and we can't let Putin have a victory. But the facts on the ground will be worse. More Ukrainian soldiers will have died. More of the infrastructure will have been destroyed. And more of its territory will be occupied by Russia. What will Congress do then? Already, I read reports and saw reports. I don't know if they're true, but I saw them on Twitter over the weekend. French troops are now marching into the battle. And you better believe that with the Afghanis right now, Afghanistan refugees, if you want to call them that, infiltrators, whatever you want to call them, are tearing the crap out of Paris right now. And now they're going to have an Olympics. Incidentally, the wrestling team, the Olympic wrestling team has been forged through competition, through the challenge tournaments over the weekend. I enjoyed those. But there's going to be a terror. I mean, I can't imagine there not being an incident in Paris right now with the landscape that they created and cultivated. It's insane. So Charlie Kirk writes, Republican Congressman Tom Cole went on CBS News and said that reservoir of goodwill is enormous for Speaker Johnson. I don't think so. Here's interesting news. Bill Barr endorses President Trump, says he is supporting former President Trump in the upcoming election despite their past disagreements because he views the far left as a greater threat to the U.S. Of course. The Biden administration is suing Sheetz, as I told you in the upfront part of our show, for discriminating against minorities. The reason? The company requires all applicants to first pass a criminal record background check. So they're not allowed, because doing a background check for criminal records is discrimination. Basically, the Democrats are saying that black people are too stupid to get a voter ID. And then they're also saying that they are criminals. So therefore, in order to have fair elections, you can't ask if someone's a citizen. In order to have fair, equal job hiring, you can't ask if someone's a criminal. And you got to assume that nobody should have a voter ID to vote so you can commit election fraud. And we're going to use race as an excuse for that. It's insane. The Democrats are absolutely destroying America. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I don't mean to sidetrack you, but there's been something that's been sticking in my craw about this whole Mayorkas impeachment thing.
Yep.
The comeback is that this is nothing more than a policy dispute. I'm sorry, then shouldn't that be the focus of the investigation, the policy? What is the policy and who made it up?
Well, they already busted him of perjury. That should be enough. Look at where Peter Navarro. Look at where Peter Navarro is right now.
Right, but this goes back to what I was talking to you about before. Is that he may be breaking the law, but he's following policy. You understand what I'm saying? Because policy supersedes law.
Well, he's not enforcing law. Is the problem?
No, he's enforcing policy. Now, who made the policy? That's the question. The policy, everything at the border is going on because policy dictates. He's following policy. So who made the policy?
Well, he ended all the executive orders that Trump put into place because Trump couldn't rely on Congress to keep the border secure. So he issued executive orders, like 90 of them or something. And next thing you know, this whole thing about like that person who killed Lake and Riley was released because there was not enough beds. Well, if you had to remain in Mexico, policy to your point, then we wouldn't have a bed shortage. Because
isn't it the entity that created the policy that should be held to account?
Yeah. Well, when you mix Title 42, which was a COVID-based title that says, you know, we need a healthy immigrant to come through the border, number one. So we're going to reject you on those grounds. Then there was catch and release, and we're going to reject that. We're no longer going to catch and release. We're going to catch and detain. And if you're illegal, you have to remain in Mexico until you're hearing. That put a stop to this endless migration. But we know that the CBP One app and everything else that they've done, including this new spending bill that Speaker Johnson put into place, I think resulted in $300 million more for processing to bring more people into our country. Not $1 of that is going towards security of our border. It's going toward processing to basically increase the number of illegals in our country.
Well, once they're processed, they won't be illegal.
Well, they'll be legally here until they're hearing, and they never show up for those hearings. And even if they do, it's probably by then going to be a rubber stamp. You're approved.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my whole point was that the whole impeachment attempt was doomed from the beginning because their focus was not in the right position. Yeah, they were focusing on Mayorkas when they should have been focusing on the policy.
Let me ask you something. Do you pay taxes?
Yes.
Do you feel represented?
No.
Thank you. I think they call that taxation without representation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good talking to you, Scott.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. Yep, that's so true. It's sad but true, isn't it? Sad but true. All right. Well, all right. So we have a lot more. I wanted to talk a little bit about this Niger thing before we get back to the main subjects that we're talking about today. This Niger-Russia-backed military junta has agreed to release 1,000 U.S. troops it was effectively holding hostage in exchange for Biden's agreement to turn over the $100 million air base to Niger and Russia forces. The U.S. media will barely mention this humiliation today. So there's a $100 million air base that we had secured. Russia played us, and now we have to turn it back over. Crazy. Again, I said this in the opening, but I tweeted this out. I said the $60 billion sent to Ukraine is a campaign donation to every congressman who voted for it. Money sent to Ukraine always has strings attached that require specific DC groups to advise, audit, and control how the money is spent, often to pay-to-play lobbyists and control politicians. Ukraine money laundering donations from lobbyists and PR agents connected with Blinken founded West Exec, State Department Front, Albright Stonebridge, Ridgeline Partners, Brookings, Atlantic Council, and other deep state inside the Beltway foreign agents who funnel money to politicians. Jake Sullivan said just 9 days ago that the Middle East is quieter than... Now, this was, I tweeted this out a long time ago, but Jake Sullivan said 9 days before the Middle East went on fire, quieter than it's been in two decades. West Exec founder and Secretary of State Biden money launderer Blinken, defends Jake Sullivan. Right. He's defending Jake Sullivan. And then there's Lisa Monaco. West Exec, Lisa Monaco, this secretive consulting firm that's become Biden's cabinet in waiting, West Exec Advisors, which now looks like a government in waiting for the next administration, was founded in 2017. Constant Wars. Once one of its collaborators is the defense-centered investment group Pine Island. I've never heard of this one. So Pine Island Capital Partners. Tony Blinken advised Pine Island and was a part owner. Joe Biden nominated Lloyd Austin, himself a former Pine Island partner. Let's take a listen to this real quick.
Not saying much of anything, but incurring some risk. Hostage negotiations are going on. You could say the wrong thing. He takes that risk and he goes on television. Why? To promote his own brand. Because just like before Joe Biden became president and after, Jake is going to be in business along
Jake
with
Sullivan
Tony.
And
these
Tony
two
Blinken
are some of the richest guys in Washington. And they exploit the world situation through a private company that Tony Blinken founded. It's called West Exec. You can look it up. A special company with special clients and all kinds of special money. I wonder if it was worth it. It certainly wasn't for us.
Congress, my funding priorities for the appropriations process.
However, as the budget looks to eliminate the Overseas Contingency Operations Fund, which pays for off-budget operations, the bill will increase spending in developing new technologies and constructing new equipment. And while Americans can be excited about advancing the U.S. military, one acquisitions company is even more excited, as it seems the new budget will be directly serving the interests of their clients. The company in question is called Pine Island Acquisitions, and it is a special purposes acquisition company. It was founded in August of 2020, and is headed by an all-star cast of establishment Democrat operatives. These include former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, former House Majority Leader Dick Gephardt, and prior to them being hired into the Biden administration, the company was also advised by Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and Secretary of State Antony Blinken. What the company does is raise money from Wall Street firms to invest in top aerospace and defense companies. Then, when those companies get big government contracts, those investments start to pay off. Now, with the new military budget set to be released, early indications suggest many of the companies linked to Pine Island Capital and its leadership are set to finally get those massive contracts. To start, the top focus of the plan is shipbuilding to counter Chinese naval efforts in the Indo-Pacific.
Improvements in our exercises, experimentation, and innovation will make vast improvements for really less than 1% of the defense budget going forward and help regain the advantage for us, put that conventional deterrent in the field, and prevent Chinese designs on its neighbors.
This will likely be a major contract for American shipbuilder Huntington Ingalls Industry, who is a top client of former House Speaker Richard Gephardt, who serves as a partner for Pine Island and a lobbyist for Huntington Ingalls. The plan also calls for increased investment into the ground-based strategic deterrent long-range missile system. This system is being developed by weapons contractor Northrop Grumman, who has extensive ties to Pine Island Acquisitions partner Major General Charles F. Bolden, who once helped Northrop Grumman develop a relationship with NASA. Also included in the plan is a major investment into hypersonic missile strike capabilities, with likely contracts going to Lockheed Martin, which helps fund a think tank which was founded by former Obama administration official Michelle Flournoy, who also serves as a partner at Pine Island Acquisitions. With all of this in mind, the upcoming Biden military budget is looking to be another business-as-usual fundraiser for lobbyists and corporate interests with close ties to the White House.
And they are the ones that control the politicians. That's what I'm here to tell you. And that's why you have this perpetual crisis. Remember when everyone wearing their Ukrainian flags on their lapels and avatars in their social media, and social media around the world would post graphics asking to donate to Ukraine? It's possible that donate to Ukraine could be translated to say donate to globalist socialist politicians, all of whom were part of Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum without an audit of Ukraine's FTX partnership. We will never know how the money was spent, except that we know Sam Bankman-Fried was donating heavily to support the liberal agenda. Sam Bankman-Fried talked of saving the planet, requiring liberal politicians to advance their global agenda. Donate to Save Ukraine was a Ukraine National Bank, FTX bait and switch money train that was always going off the cliff. It was always going to go down. It's just a matter of when, like any Ponzi scheme. The end game was to rob the train, then regulate CBDCs. It's another way to also... So you screw it up, and then you fix it by regulating. You allow 9/11 to happen, and then you get the Patriot Act, right? You know, you cause a crisis, and then to put it out, you have martial law, and you have emergency powers, right? You screw up the foreign policy by allowing China to eat your lunch. And then you actually get military contracts to build a fleet because the public is going to support it only when it's absolutely obvious that you need it. So you allow Russia to invade Ukraine, and then you turn Ukraine, which was already corrupt as can be, thanks to Victoria Nuland and Jeffrey Pyatt and the State Department, the CIA, and Burisma and all the oligarchs, they were using Ukraine as a slush fund. It was a corrupt country from soup to nuts. But where's the money going to come from? So you got to start a war. You got to start a war with Russia. You got to poke the bear. And Russia probably for the longest time said, you know, we're not going to take that bait. But after a while, Russia was given no choice because Moscow was under threat. The Nord Stream pipeline was under threat. Their existence was under threat. And at some point, it ratcheted up to the point where it was so obvious that Russia needed to go in. And Russia then, and Ukraine now, is getting $60 billion here. It's getting $200 billion there. It's getting basically $1 trillion. And all the while, what you end up with is a bunch of oligarchs pushing a new world order. This is a member of parliament, Ukrainian member of parliament, Kira Rudik.
Right now, it's a critical time because we know that we not only fight for Ukraine, we fight for this new world order, for the democratic countries.
For the democrat countries, right? She's just nothing but a Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum tool. Meanwhile, you got Ukrainian member of parliament. Now that you just heard, a member of parliament in Ukraine, Kira Rudik. Here's another Ukrainian member of parliament, Hannity Vatsak, has become the first European owner of a $600,000 Rolls Royce, seen driving around town with it. Thank you for purchasing, he says. Thank you for purchasing my new car. Your rebate check is in the mail. Yours truly, Ukrainian Member of Parliament, Hannity Vatsak. That's just one guy. Here's another one. Bentley with Ukrainian numbers in the center of Moscow. Judging by media reports, the expensive car belongs to Ukrainian oligarch Alexander Tislenko. Beautiful Bentley. Looking for an impeachable offense? How about James and Joe Biden giving $20 million of our taxpayer dollars to an Ukrainian oligarch, Hynensky, to open a luxury car dealership in Ukraine? Let's take a listen.
Of his older brother, John Hynensky, a Ukrainian-American, lent James $500,000.
Whoops. I'm going to play that again.
Allowed him to carry on fixing the house.
My bad.
His older brother, John Hynensky, a Ukrainian-American, lent James $500,000 that allowed him to carry on fixing the house and eventually sell it. Hynensky also dealt with his friend Joe. In fact, when the vice president flew to Ukraine in 2009, 6 months into his tenure, Hynensky was on the plane. Also on that trip, when the vice president addressed the Ukrainian parliament, Biden was careful to name-check his friend sitting in the gallery, so no one needed a further introduction. The loan from Hynansky, who owns the Delaware-based collection of auto dealerships called the Winner Automotive Group, was a very big deal to James Biden. But it is dwarfed by the $20 million loan guarantee Hynansky received from the federal government so that he could open a dealership in Kiev selling Land Rovers, Jaguars, and Porsches in that impoverished nation. Just as the vice president had introduced Hynansky to the leading politicians and officials in Ukraine, the vice president did the same favor for his son Hunter in December 2013 when he took Hunter and Hunter's daughter Finnegan with him to China. As the long motorcade streaked through Beijing, the vice president suddenly ordered the convoy to a halt, and he jumped out with Hunter to run into a store and buy ice cream bars for his party, and even for the correspondent from The Atlantic, Steve Clemens, who was the pool reporter that day. Schweitzer said this was not a typical American-style photo op. Instead, it was a deliberate introduction of his son, Hunter, to the Chinese power brokers. Americans saw father and son enjoying an ice cream, but the Mandarin rulers saw Hunter as a priestling to be respected.
Guanxi is very interesting because it's basically a standing or reputation within the cultural hierarchy. So it's basically, if you know powerful people and you can demonstrate you know powerful people, your Guanxi will rise. Well, there's no greater or very few greater examples of Guanxi than being related to the vice president of the United States. So you have this trip in Asia in December of 2013 where Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden fly on Air Force Two. They're in Asia, in Japan. The Japanese are very concerned because
Right, so it's just all about optics, right? Let me show you what I could do. Our relationship is solid. So, I wanted to find something else here. It says here, well, the oligarchs here have beach houses, too. So let's take a listen to this.
$80 billion for Ukraine. We're borrowing $80,000 per second, $4.6 million a minute. The generals and the officials in Ukraine are buying beach houses all over the world with the money. There's no oversight.
Somebody from Ukraine went to, I think it was Monaco. They were looking at all of the supercars, the hypercars, all of them Ukrainian license plates. This is theft of the American people's money.
And they want to do another $60 billion.
And why? At least 33 cents of every dollar we send over does not make it to anyone.
It's going to beach houses and things.
Yeah, it's going to corruption.
Yeah, and that we're just doing this, right? So, tragically true, isn't it? Biden fired over 8,000 military personnel over the vaccine, brought 10 million unvaccinated illegal aliens into the country, and spread them to all 50 states. That actually happened, folks. All right, so... oh, by the way, the best poll in the world, there was a supermarket. So we went shopping yesterday, and we went to a sock store. The empty hook next to the Biden socks were Trump socks. Notice everyone bought the Trump socks, and the racks with Biden socks are full. So this person tweets, my mom ordered a bunch of Trump socks. You know, so basically that's what's going on. Also in Brazil, there's huge protests against the sitting government, just like here in the United States. So the RNC and Trump campaign to hire 100,000 election integrity operatives to watch polls on election day. I would definitely volunteer if you can. I'll do it for free. Who's with me? Okay, so someone writes that. But I was actually a minority inspector in Philadelphia, and I, you know, did it for free. So, newly uncovered evidence proves Biden's machinations in Ukraine while VP. So whistleblower Eric Ciaramella was in the loop of Biden-Ukraine affairs And that's according to this Gateway Pundit story and Paul Sperry. All right. So, cover up. The situation in Niger is a massive foreign policy failure, and the U.S. media is refusing to report on it because they fear it will hurt Biden's reelection efforts. So, Afghanistan, Russia, China, Niger, Middle East. Every single foreign policy. You think that they're that stupid, though? Do you think? Or do you think that they're actually, every time they screw up, they have to put... It's sort of like if you want job security as a fireman, you'll also be an arsonist, too. So you start the fire, then you get job security because they need firemen, and then you act like a hero and put the fire that you started out, right? It's like there's a syndrome for... some parent that says, I'm going to make my child sick, and then I'm going to be a hero and save their life. Stacey Abrams says anyone who attacks diversity, equity, and inclusion is also attacking democracy and the economy. This makes zero sense. What we know is that the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, is an attack on democracy. It's an attack on education. She says it's an attack on our economy. Works. She's an idiot. But the reason why I brought it up is because if you see Stacey Abrams coming out, you know that the fraud is beginning in Georgia. That's the problem. Caller, you're on the air?
Yeah, that was great. That was a great analogy, the firefighter. They don't want to solve anything.
Yeah.
I'm convinced. Even the local governments here in Utah, they don't want to solve anything.
Right.
They just want to keep it going.
So
that's we are getting ripped off at a. I can't believe how much we're getting ripped off here. We are just getting fleeced with all this foreign aid. They're going for the Hail Mary pass now. It's going to get probably worse before November. So I don't know, folks. I would say buy some gold and silver because they could probably collapse this currency at the rate they're going. That's my thoughts. Take care, man. Thanks for what you're doing. Great show.
Thank you. Thanks. All right. So there you go. I want you to hear this. This is great. You got to hear this. You're going to love this, folks. The man in charge of the United States isn't in charge at all.
And sticking with Uncle Sleepy Joe, we got a bit of breaking news. Apparently, Israel is about to bomb itself and attack one of its biggest cities, its third largest city. President Biden has announced and pleaded with Tel Aviv, do not attack Haifa. Don't do it. Check the video.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean...
I made it clear to Israelis, don't attack Haifa. Don't go there. Let's go to Haifa. Where's that? Haifa? I made it clear to Vladimir Putin, don't attack Moscow. Don't do it.
How do we get to the place where, you know, Putin decides he's going to just invade Russia? Nothing like this has happened since World War II.
I mean, this guy is in charge of the nuclear codes. He's got the briefcase. I mean, Jesus, he gets the city wrong on that day, it's going to be, we're going to have a complete show. And while Sleepy Joe decides that he's urging the Israelis not to bomb themselves in Haifa, you might remember this dude, good old Jake Sullivan, the same guy who told us that Al-Qaeda was on our side in Syria. Just last year, he told us that the Middle East was quieter and more peaceful than it had been in 20 years, in two decades. Check this out.
And the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades.
Quieter today than it has been in two decades. 16 countries involved in the conflict. Iranians are bombing Israel. The Brits are shooting down Iranian drones. The Americans are launching air defense missiles. Everyone's freaking out over there. Nothing to do with the fact that the CIA and the Brits overturned the only democratic government in the Middle East at the time in Iran in 1954. Nothing to do with that. It's not their fault.
Wow, that's pretty funny. But that's our foreign policy. It's all about making people rich, though. They create a crisis, and then they get rich solving the crisis or chasing their tail, whichever one comes first. Well, that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Make a donation over at MAGAPAC.org. If you'd like to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free, use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. We'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye, buddy.